This is the SML Podcast.
Were you born with it, or was it Maybelline?
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Hello from column A, hello from column B.
Everybody loves natural beauty.
Yeah, let's
maybe she's
just
born with it. Maybe it's Joe.
Just start.
But hey,
stop
he's eating.
Chewing your food and do intro.
Is that Taco? It
recording?
Looks like Taco Hell.
It is Taco Hell.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Uh huh. That's
green,
why
green bar.
That's,
means
that's why I'm hinting
where's
at
the green
you.
Green bar.
Green bar is right there.
Do you see the numbers ticking at the bottom?
See the numbers?
All right. What's up, everybody? I'm Tim.
I'm Chris.
And I'm sick.
Me
and
too.
And this is the SML Sick Cast because MagFest, MagFlu, Fest.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
If I get stick.
Special.
If I get stick.
If you get stuck.
Special guest this week so that I don't have to talk as much. Big Matt from MagFest. What's up, Big
What's
Matt?
Up?
Introduce yourself. Tell us about you, and I'm going to nap.
I'm Big Matt. I hate everything about MagFest.
Is that why you canceled it this year?
I cancel it every year, Ben.
Nice. So, tell us about you. Who are you? What the fuck do you do? And why should people care?
First of all, nobody should care. Let's see here. I am the head music director for the Music and Gaming Festival. I book bands and rent equipment and spend all of Magprom setting up the second stage in my suit and
and looking damn good doing it.
And generally I have a lot of love from a lot of people and a lot of animosity from other people, and it's pretty much a bunch of balancing plates as to how much people are mad and how much people aren't mad and shit like that. And usually the people being mad wins out. And outside of MagFest, I perform in a couple of bands. I book tours for the nerd music, video game music scene. I book other conventions and generic shit like that.
Sounds
all right,
fascinating.
That covered 2 minutes of the podcast. Now, all you got to do is ramble for another 58.
And 58, and we're golden.
Oh, I never agreed to do a full hour. What the hell is this?
We got you now.
You're not leaving now.
Yeah, you can't actually disconnect the Skype call unless we do it.
it's locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'll go on like some sort of bad score on your Skype account
if
for
you
disconnecting the call.
If you hit close, your computer monitor explodes into your face. And you die.
Well, I needed to get rid of this laptop anyway.
Yeah, but did you also need to get rid of your face?
You need your face.
Well, if the screen's going to explode when I end the call, I just close the laptop, that thus turning off the computer. Thus, glass is not aimed towards my face.
But it'll be aimed towards the lithium-ion battery, which will also explode if punctured.
And if it's on your lap, it's aimed at your balls.
That's even worse.
But you don't need those.
It's on top of a metal table.
Well, so then it'll ricochet then. Everywhere.
Well, that was Big Matt. That was a good call.
Is it? Are your?
Oh my God! Your bag is so noisy.
Is the metal table actually your balls?
No, they are not. And no, I do not have a fleshlight on.
Oh, he did his homework.
Someone knows our show.
Just gonna get this out of the way now.
Are you playing Dark Souls by any
Wait,
chance?
Wait, hold on. Dark Souls 2 trailer. Awesome. It was.
I won't watch it because I want to go into the game as blind as possible.
You're gonna go in blind and you're gonna go.
Yeah, but you're also talking to a guy who can like speed run that game now,
dude. The stuff that they even showed for this game now, it looks fucking absurd. Well, like I'm ready.
I saw the first stuff they put out for it. And was really impressed when they showed, like, oh, there's a monster locked up behind a wall. If you poke him with an arrow, he'll break through the wall and come after you. They showed a carriage coming through a tunnel, and you can see the light coming, and you try to get out of the way, and it just fucking kills you. Like,
I'm ready.
So much fun stuff. And that was all I needed to see. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm sold.
You're dark souled.
Yeah, I'm dark souled. Hashtag it. Hashtag it. It's
no.
A thing now.
No. I'm not hashtagging it.
Fuck you.
So
hashtag YOLO.
I'm gonna try and
YOLAFT.
YOLAFT. You only live a few times.
I'm gonna make buttons that say hashtag YOLAFT.
Hashtag YOLAFT.
I want to make buttons that say cut throats.
All right, so Matt, you are the music director for MAGFest. How did you get involved with MAGFest in the beginning?
Oh, man, back in the day, my first MAGFest was MAGFest 3 in Williamsburg, Virginia. It was the first time I'd ever heard of and or attended a MAGFest. And at first, I almost completely, like, turned around and left because the first thing I saw upon, like, pulling up to check in
was Joe.
Was, like, a 400-pound Chun-Li.
Oh.
Oh, so it was me.
That was Joe.
It was Joe.
And I was just like, I have severe reservations about this. But I ended up sticking around.
I have severe reservations at my hotel.
9 years later, you still have severe reservations.
I've already canceled next year's MAGFest.
All right.
Just putting that out there now. Then I went to 4, which was in Charlottesville at the Doubletree, if I remember correctly.
Doubletree? Tripletree?
Tripletree? Triple Triad?
There were so many hotels in the middle there.
Let's see. So at 4 was like pure and utter chaos as far as the concerts went. Like people were like jumping up on the stage, being general assholes and shit like that. And so in between 4 and 5, I hit up Paul and Brendan and some girl who used to staff that I don't remember the name of at all anymore because she stopped like right after 5. And I told them that I'd be interested in doing concert security, and I bounced at a club down in Greenville, North Carolina at the time, and I had a couple of other bouncer buddies who wanted to come do it with me. And so MAGFest 5 came around, came up, did concert security, did that every year until MAGFest 9, when I took a more direct role in helping, like, manage the concerts and shit like that. Then me and Karen fired Dom and took over the music department. And nice. Now here I am.
Yay!
Yay!
That's. I mean, I would. I'd be really excited about doing it. I mean, since you've been doing it for so long, like, what are the things that you essentially like? What are the things you look forward to, and what are the things you don't look forward to when it comes to like picking the bands for the next year?
Nothing.
Man love.
The thing is, back in the day, like, it was really easy to pick bands because there weren't a lot of bands. There weren't a lot of, like, talented people, things like that. And then all of a sudden, around, like, MAGFest 9, every motherfucker in the world wanted to start doing video game music. And everybody's, like, the applications this year keep getting more and more ridiculous. It's like, I mean, Stage 2 started at MAGFest 10, and there were a lot of joke bands on Stage 2, like Search Snake, other things like that. And then, like, as you watch, like, the progression, like, Stage 2 now has become, like, here are all the new bands. Holy fuck, all of these guys could easily be on main stage.
Yeah.
So it's been helpful. The biggest challenge that Karen and I face when we pick bands is figuring out how to keep things. We're trying to find a balance between old stuff that people like and new stuff that we hope and think people will like. And that leads to actually a lot of the arguments that happen over the internet.
Yeah, I know one of the big controversies was the whole Vert not appearing at Mag 12, and I understand.
You started that too, Joe.
I didn't start it.
Joe,
I just jumped
you whiny
on it.
Bitch.
Well, no, it's honestly, I can understand wanting to get a whole lot of new people there, and you guys are doing a great job with getting new people there. But I think I can't understand why, of all people, Vert would be turned away.
Well, in a nutshell, I can tell you this exactly. First of all, since we're going to talk on the topic of chiptunes, I just wanted to be here and known that there are maybe a grand total of 5 entire chiptune acts that I actually like. 5.
That might be more than me. I'm not a big chiptune guy myself.
Yeah. I'm honestly not either. So what happened?
Although I would blow Danimal every night of the week. I would.
a couple years ago, I pretty much said I was going to scrap chiptunes entirely because I was so sick of it. And
yeah, I don't think that would go over well.
I don't, Joe. You know, I don't care what other people think.
Well, now, since you're running something, now mind you, I go to a lot of conventions. I've been to conventions for the past. God, how old am I? 12 years, so about 12. I'm 12 years old. No, I've been going 12? To conventions for about 12 years. Now, one of the big problems that I've been encountering lately is because it's the typical story for a lot of people that work or run sections of conventions anymore, which is they started out going to the convention, then they got a job at the convention, and now they run a section or the entire convention itself. And one of the biggest problems with some of the bigger conventions or conventions that have gotten bigger are that a lot of the people working there seem to only take into account what they like or what they feel, not necessarily what they think the congoers want to see.
Exactly. Now, see, the thing is I started off as a music band guy. Yeah. Like when I was working security, the bands are the people I always interacted with the most. The bands are the people that, you know, I don't like make friends that are just attendees or things like that. The only reason that I'm really friends with Joe is because I met Joe back when I was just an attendee.
And he is cute.
And there's honestly not a lot of people that I can say that about now that either still come or
Joe will come
that I give a shit about, to be honest. So on a personal level, So what happened is with the chiptunes, I was toying around with the idea back at 11 of just scrapping chiptunes entirely. And a couple of my friends that I know online were like, no, you can't scrap chiptunes. And I was like, well, I could. I technically do have that talent. I could do it. It's like, and so then I formed a chiptune team. Like the way that the music department honestly works is it's kind of like a clock. There's like the big wheel and there's a whole bunch of little cogs surrounding it. The chiptune team is one of those. And staying on topic about the whole Vert thing, what happened is because I don't like a lot of chiptune music, we always have 8 slots for chiptunes.
Oh, man, I decided like 8 bits. I get it.
I decided to take two of those slots, and I was going to book based off the applications that we received, because there were a couple of applications we received that I actually genuinely did like. And then the other two members of my chiptune team both picked 2 new people, and each of them got to pick 1 returning act. And one of them picked Cheap Dinosaurs, and one of them picked Danimal Cannon. That's why Vert didn't get booked.
And that seems fair. That does seem fair. It's
just like that.
And that's the thing. When people are kind of like, presented how everything comes to be, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And that's, I can completely understand from where Matt's coming from, where it's just like, you know what, man, like maybe you don't necessarily like the way that things are going, but at the same time, you have to be able to respect how it comes to terms. Like you have to
I love Vert. Like Jake is somebody I consider to be a really good friend of mine. But constantly throughout the years have to battle this rumor that I'm show favoritism. I only book my friends, things like that. So
can you book me next year?
You don't play any instruments.
I play the fallopian tuba.
That was my instrument.
And I think we made that joke a number of times last week.
I don't think you'll be able to play that instrument at MacFest.
You could. No. If you try hard enough.
I'm sure there's a lot of people playing the fallopian tuba.
No, probably not that many.
No, probably not. We're all sweaty.
They're playing more skin flutes than fallopian tubas.
Actually, wait, I'm not sweaty and fat. I'm attractive.
Oh, my life. No, dude. I mean, like, I completely understand. And even just like going to MAGFest this year, since this was my first MAGFest, I bonded so much more with the musicians that were there because that's what I am. Like, I got along with a lot of the musician side of a lot of the con goers and stuff like that because, like, I was able to sympathize with how hectic their schedule was and how much they had to do. And a lot of people, like, don't necessarily look into, like, how much really goes into, like, when Joe was telling me, and I had even seen, like, I saw you at the merch table, and I was like, man, I've been seeing this guy, like, everywhere that I've been. And he's, like, setting gear up, and he's, like, doing sound and all this stuff. I'm like, this guy's got to be fucking, like, just out of his gourd. And then I realized, like, oh, this is the guy that does everything about the music. He is the M. He is the M in MAGFest.
Pretty much. MAGFest. Big MAGFest.
I thought that was music.
MAGFest.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it, so I mean, like, I understood, like, how much work really goes into it. So I understand, like, how much of a stress it can really become. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that they could say, like, oh, yeah, dude, I totally understand. But they don't really understand until they have to actually do it. Like,
so
a lot of the old bands understand, because, like, back when I was just the security guy, it'd be like, okay, concert's done, time to party with everybody. Yeah.
Someone's then, still, like, got to tear the equipment down. Like,
yeah. And then, like, once MAGFest 9 hit, it's like, okay, all the concerts are done, time to keep working.
Yeah.
Text messages, Matt, where are you at? It's like, working. And now, like, a lot of the bands, whenever they do get to see me, they're just like, hey man, how's it going? It's like, oh, I'm great. And it's like okay, cool. I'm like, yeah. It's like, you partying this year? It's like, probably not. Well, just gonna be honest, are you staying through Sunday night? Because then, yeah, sure. It's like, I got to spend maybe a total of 30 minutes with Norg and Finnbeard on Sunday before I had to go hunt down somebody's missing keyboard amp.
Oh, geez.
At like 11 o'clock at night on Sunday. And It's just, I don't get to have fun at MAGFest anymore.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to equipment, like you said, you find rentals and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Like, how much equipment are people actually bringing when they're doing their performances?
It depends on the bands. A lot of drummers like to use their own personal drum sets. We don't rent, like, keyboard amps or anything like that. So if there's, like, because we have monitors. Why?
Well, yeah, you just run it right in. Like, yeah.
But a lot of keyboardists will be like, well, I need to have my amp and the monitor, so I'm just surrounded by the sound of me. So sometimes they'll bring their own keyboard amp, like Dom. Dom is notorious for bringing his own keyboard amp. And so then the main problem with this year and everybody's equipment and the shenanigans that happened is, because of the astronomer thing, we lost the Potomac Ballroom at midnight on Saturday. Like, as soon as Machine Supremacy was done playing and we got everybody out, teardown started immediately.
Damn.
Ugh.
And we lost that room at like 4 in the morning. So, like, all the gear from, like, shed space, jam space, stage 2, and main stage all had to go to a completely different storage part of the hotel.
Jesus Christ.
And it was an entire clusterfuck, and yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's absurd.
Yeah, there's no stars. That's in that MAGFest, room. What did they need it for?
That's MAGFest.
Yeah.
So, see, I knew that there was a little bit of that going on, but I just didn't know to what kind of extent, because I've had to do, I mean, like, I've been gigging out musically since I was like 12. So, I mean, like, yeah. I've been having to deal with this kind of stuff for years and years and years and years and years. So, I like, and I, once I saw, like, even just, like, going there for the first time this year and seeing Jam Space and seeing Shed Space and seeing the second stage and the production and the stage, like, the lighting, the sound, everything that goes into every single one of these stages, they're not fucking around.
No.
Like, this is serious equipment. There's a lot of shit. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And, yeah, like, knowing that you guys had to do that much of a teardown in that little amount of time, like, I don't even know how you guys got it done. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Well, pretty much what happened is stage 2 ended at 6 o'clock. The stage 2 team started teardown, or started, like, because we rent, like, the back line, but, like, the front of house and okay. lights and stuff from a company. So when stage two, when Rare Candy got done, all the stage two staff and a couple of volunteers all moved all of like the backline equipment and everything else off the stage, out of the room entirely, done. And then our rental agency started tearing down stage two.
Oh, okay.
Jam Space ended at about 6:40, 6:45, 15 minutes before main concert started. So while the first band, On Being Human, was playing on main stage, the Jam Space crew was tearing down all the Jam Space stuff, except for like the front of house and lights and shit.
Yeah.
And then while main concerts went through the night, our production company all went through, cleared out stage two, cleared out Jam Space. That way, once Machine Supremacy was done,
you had everybody. Yeah, I got you.
All they had left was that stuff. And then I made like my 35-person security team take all of the rental gear and stuff like that, that we like backline equipment from the main stage to the secured location for storage. And that way we were completely out of the rental company's way then.
It still blows my mind to hear you say my 35-person security team.
When you see the size of those rooms, like, you have to.
Do you remember MAGFest 5 when it was like me, Maddie, Sketch, and Phil, and that was it?
Yeah. I remember the earlier, even before that, when I would help out with security, just holding people back. Like, I wasn't official. I didn't get anything for doing it. I just kept people off the stage. Like, first years, there weren't 35 MAGFest employees total, and now there's 35 security people under your command. Just thinking about that shit blows my mind.
See, but you know what, though? Like, me, like I said, because this was my first go-to, and I saw how everything's set up, like, I would be surprised if they didn't have 35. Yeah. Mainly just because, I completely understand, like, I'm more on Matt's approach, like, of taking into consideration, like, you know, from a musician's perspective and a bouncer's perspective, like, you know, what all really is needed and is necessary for something to run smooth. Yeah. And it's absolutely necessary.
They practically needed 35 people to hold Kyle back from rushing the stage for Machine Supremacy.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he was, man, that man was hard for that band.
Hard is an understatement.
Yeah. Diamond.
He was blade mode.
Yeah. So
For next year, I need to find about 15 more security people.
I'll help. I won't be able to help, but I'll help.
For the plans and schemes for next year.
In all seriousness, I do have a bouncing background. I'm a decently big guy. I wouldn't mind helping out.
Punch him in the shoulder. He'll go right down.
Okay. As of right now, yeah, because of my fucking... Yeah.
So speaking of plans...
Find me on Facebook later and we'll talk.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of plans and schemes for next year is...
It's canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Any kind of secret announcements that you could maybe trickle out early? Anything fun happening?
Define fun.
Something that nobody...
You have to remember, I don't find MAGFest fun anymore.
anything at this point would be fun for us.
He already told us next year's canceled.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, there you go. That's the fun part. Secret's canceled.
Confirm. Rock Band 4 confirmed.
Fun about next year.
Any kind of big band names already signed on?
Nope. Unlike last year, I do not have any bands confirmed so far for next year. Right.
Is there anyone big you're talking with?
Chris Huber.
That guy's a dick.
Who the fuck is Chris Hubert?
Hubert. Christopher Hubert. That should be your alternate identity.
No.
I haven't honestly started talking with bands yet because last year we were in a really weird position.
Was it
where
Donnie?
we knew what our money situation was already before MAGFest 11 even happened.
Oh, wow.
Which allowed me to start talking to bands early, and that's how, like, I had Machine Supremacy confirmed the gear in advance. This year, there wasn't quite as much growth as we were expecting. There were a couple of bigger expenses that happened throughout the year, so I'm still waiting to hear what the budget's going to be before I can start actually looking at, like, big bands and things like that.
No.
I will say I did enjoy getting both Mega Driver and Machine Supremacy, because both of those bands' total cost combined is cheaper than one band from Japan.
Wow.
Dude, Machine A, when Joe told me that Machine A was playing, that was one of the driving things that ended up making me wanting to go, because I used to listen to them all the time in high school. So yeah. That's why I was like, holy fuck, man. Like, this is definitely like a thing that I got to check out. So, like, that was a big fucking deal for me.
Thank you.
Good job, Matt.
I'm sure it won't affect your... you didn't have as much growth as you expected, but I imagine you probably won't have less money in your budget than you did the
like
previous year.
My budget rarely ever goes down once it gets an increase. The problem is that for like my plans, my schemes and things like that, because I take more into consideration than just who I'm going to book, but it's more also how are the bands getting treated? Are they getting paid fairly? Is everybody getting accommodations, things like that? So I'd like if my budget could increase so I could like say give all the stage two bands a hotel room. I'd really like that.
Yeah.
Give them all tan colored M&Ms.
God. All green M&Ms.
Yeah.
All the time.
All green.
Nope. Actually, green would be easy now because the mint M&Ms are all green.
Aren't they like green and white or something?
No, they're all green.
They're all green? Wow.
Huh. All green.
Well, I can't remember the last time I had an M&M, so that's...
I said the mint kind.
Right. So is it like a thin mint kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of.
That sounds actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, somewhat pleasant.
It actually really is. Like, they sell like the big bags of them at grocery stores, at least they do down here where I live, so...
Plus, there's candy shops that just deal with single color M&Ms that you could just make your own mint.
Yeah, that is.
That's cheating.
That's not cheating.
No, you have to sort them. That's part of the fun.
How do they know? Like, by the time you actually put all the spread out for that kind of stuff, like, you're long gone before like any of the actual talent comes into the room.
The energy, the aura of the effort radiating off of the M&Ms that matters.
I didn't know it had absorbed that.
Bands feed off of it. That's how they get their musical power.
The SMNML podcast?
God, no.
I will say that there is one potential thing. Nothing is confirmed or in line or anything like that, but one thing that the music department is currently toying with is the idea of a rotating stage.
That would be cool.
Like the stage actually rotates?
No. If you take something like one of the setups, like a Warped Tour or a Mayhem Fest, where essentially like you've got two main stages, and essentially when one band is playing, the other one is setting up, so you've constantly got bands going on.
Actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
is BitGen still doing it like that? I know the last one I went to.
No, BitGen moved to a venue that only has one stage. Rams Head Live, and that is pretty much just one stage. So they're back down to like 10 bands instead of like the 14, 16 they were doing.
Yeah, because the last BitGen I went to was when they had the two stages going on. I thought that was awesome.
Rotating stages, all the ones that I've been a part of, I've had fun with, like as a musician, like, because it's one of those things where it's like, from a musician standpoint, you don't get to see a lot of other bands play because you're busy doing your shit. So at least you get to see like another band or maybe two like full performance while you're doing your shit, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's like, so what that'll be is like, instead of like what we've been doing since like 10, where like at noon there'll be chip tunes on main stage, and then like 11 to 6 o'clock there's the stage two bands, and then 7 to midnight there's the main stage bands, and then midnight to 2 there's whatever stupid after party we've come up with that year. Instead, what it'll be is like concerts start at noon on like stage two, and then 10 minutes after that's done, there's a band on stage one, then back and forth and back and forth. And then taking into consideration like fan feedback that we've gotten, like from 6 o'clock to 7:30, there will be no concerts. That way everybody has time to like go get dinner.
Hey.
Like that. And then at 7:30, concerts start back up, go till midnight, from to like 2:30 in the morning, prom again, or another DJ thing, or who knows what.
Is prom something that you guys are going to look into again? Because I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah, prom was like The problem with the music department is it's really hard to think up of new things to do that isn't just more music.
Yeah.
So Karen and I were talking one day. We're like, what the fuck are we going to do? We need a new thing. It was like, Love Cannon, the bluegrass band, applied. And Dale North pitched an idea for him starting a new band, which completely fizzled out because he couldn't send me any information or any recordings or anything like that. So I ended up not booking him. And what happened is we took those and we were like, we can do a prom. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, Karen. And she's like, Matt, just think about how socially awkward this is going to be. Like, okay. She's like, hey, Matt, who are you going to take to prom? I was like, that's perfect. Let's do it.
I thought it was a really cool idea. Plus the fact that having the prom got the one-ups there, and you know me, if you get the one-ups there, I'm that much happier.
Yeah, I mean, well, pretty much what happened is initially, and like this has happened every year since like MAGFest 10, we will send out like performance agreements and things like that to like certain bands, and then there's always one that ends up not working out. And so then another band that, you know, I'm friends with or that I've worked with for years suddenly gets added back on.
Nice.
And that's what happened with the one-ups this year.
Which I'm very happy about. Thank you for getting them in.
The one-ups initially were not going to be on at MAGFest this year. Like, I had sent them like their rejection letter and everything already.
Oh, and that's then, some serious business.
And then something didn't work out. And so I was like, hey, I literally called up William and I was like, hey, man, so I know I sent you a rejection and everything, but do you want to play
JK, LOL.
It's always weird when that happens because, like, fortunately, like 10, when it happened, there was one band, the band that ended up replacing one of the bands I hadn't sent a rejection letter to yet. So that made me happy.
Yeah.
And then the same thing happened last year. And then this year, it's like I sent out all the rejection letters got sent out. And it was like a month and a half later when things didn't work out. So I was like, well, all right, fuck it.
Yeah, the sting has already gone away. So they could just fucking go for it now.
Well,
I mean, like the one-ups especially understand where I'm coming from because I was on tour with them 2 summers ago, I think, which is right in the middle of freaking all the MAGFest booking crazy shit. So they've gotten a very up close and personal experience to all the crap that I have to fucking deal with.
Yeah, that was the last BitGen I went to as well because that's where their final show on the tour was.
Yep, convenient that the last one the one-ups went to is the last BitGen you went to, Joe.
Yeah, go figure.
I wonder.
I wonder if I'll be going to BitGen this year. Are the one-ups playing?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's
my decision maker.
I have been talking some things out with William, and I did tell him that he should apply to BitGen.
Nice.
That's for summer fun time shenanigans. Yeah.
Well, this is my official request to get the one-ups back at the prom next year, and the Dan Band.
The Dan Band?
I am not booking the motherfucking Dan Band.
How about Richard Cheese?
So far, the
Cheese.
Really? You don't know who Richard Cheese is?
You kids with your pop culture.
Dude.
Oh, man.
You totally have to see what Richard Cheese is.
So far, the lineup,
Lounge Against the Machine.
When we get off the phone call, I'll look into it. I promise.
did you see the new, what was it, Dawn of the Dead remake that they made?
Newer. That was
Is this fucking like Frank Sinatra covers like
the lounge shirt? Music? Yes. Yeah.
Get up. Oh, come God, on, get that. Down with the sickness, your mother. Get up.
All right, Joe, you have been around for a long time with MAGFest and things like that.
A little. You could say that.
He's only gotten to a few.
You remember how poorly the nerd comedy shit works out.
What about my love life?
Love Cannon was kind of in that vein.
Cannon was kind of in that vein, but like they're an 80s cover band. It's not dude fucking crooning at people.
But Richard Cheese is a cover band.
I thought it was just a dude.
No, Richard Cheese in Lounge Against the Machine. Oh, it's a full-on band.
I thought he was like Smooth McGroove or something.
Oh, no.
So all far, right. The BitGen lineup is some band called Coming Soon. I've never heard of
them. I like them. I heard of them. I have their first album.
I do that sometimes.
I thought their first album's out. I thought it wasn't out yet.
I thought it was coming soon. I thought it wasn't out yet.
I don't know who all's playing BitGen yet or anything like that. I know that we have the music meeting or the big music department meeting in a couple of weeks, like at the end of this month, which will be when we talk BitGen things and next year MAGFest crap and the Game Over shows for the year and blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm hoping to make the Game Over Baltimore show.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Me and Darmok, my little music department apprentice, have been doing, like, we did 2 Game Over Baltimores this past year, and she was like, I want to do another one next year, and the Baltimore shows always do really great. So I was just like, all right, cool, but you have to change the lineup. For the love of God, change the lineup. Because while I love everything that we've done, it's always been like, you can always count on Rare Candy, you can always count on Random Battles, and a couple of the other Baltimore, like, commons. And I was like, look, there are so many bands in that area. It's like, we need to mix it up. And now, like, it's, if I remember correctly, this Game Over Baltimore is Rare Candy, Overclocked University, Triforce Quartet, X Hunters, and I believe her new band, Steel Samurai or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to see Overclocked University, and I think I'll be crashing with Steve-O that night, too.
Nice.
It's good having friends.
I was told that I should probably be doing the same, so I'm gonna attempt to. I have to see what my funds are like, so.
I'm going to be on tour, and I'll be somewhere far away from the East Coast.
Oh, so I can't hug you.
You cannot hug me.
You have to wait until next MAGFest.
Or BitGen.
Oh, no, you'll probably see me before next MAGFest.
Or I hope so.
He's outside right now.
He drove up. He's been on his cell phone the whole time.
Looking in your window. But yeah, I don't know what other bands would be awesome to get there.
So here's a stupid question, because as soon as I like went and saw a bunch of bands play, I got this crazy idea that I was thinking about applying for and getting some musicians together, or some musicians of people that are already going to be down there anyway. What is the stance on cover material? Like,
what do you mean by cover material?
Like songs that were in soundtracks of games.
Oh, you mean like video game cover bands? Like the majority of what happens at MAGFest?
No, I mean like
just give them your idea.
Okay, so a punk band where all of the songs are nothing but songs that were either on the Tony Hawk soundtracks, Crazy Taxi, or Top Skater.
Suck my dick.
No, this is a brilliant idea. This is a brilliant idea.
And then the name of the band was going to be Tony Rock and the Top Skating Taxis.
God damn it. Technically, it would count because it's music from video games.
Sweet.
And therefore, your application would be valid.
However,
will Karen and I book that?
No.
Probably not. But you would technically fall under the rules and regulations for being considered.
So, what is the application process?
Oh, Jesus Christ. For main stage, stage 2, chip tunes, or DJs?
Stage 2. It's definitely not a stage 1 production.
No. Right. It might be a prom thing.
Stage 2 is actually some of the applications that we review the hardest, because it's honestly where a lot of all the new people have come into play.
Well, and that's why I figured that would be the appropriate one to apply to.
What if we were to present to you a band that is perfect, exactly what you're looking for, and then bait and switch? We get on stage and it's a ska band.
No. Well, there would be ska music in Tony Rock. I'm just like,
well, I could tell you what would happen is I would pull your badges.
Yep. And you would get beat up.
I would get my hotel liaison on the horn and have your room canceled. And then you guys can have fun paying door prices for MAGFest and or driving home.
Yep. True story.
Yeah, no. I have no
what if the band was still good?
The likelihood of that actually happening.
Yeah, what if the room started hopping?
If it was, I don't. Again, I don't care about people. But pretty much what would happen is I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't like stop your show or anything like that because
I would.
Get the fuck off stage.
I fucking would. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Now, that is under the purview of everybody is enjoying it. If you're making everybody run from the room, I'm going to tell the sound guy to cut your.
Yeah.
To kill it now. But, anyways, stage two. All the applications require the same six pieces of information. There's primary contact info, audio recordings of your work, videos of you performing live, past shows that you've played, how many members and where do they all reside, and links to all your like social media like Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, blah, blah, blah.
That's a standard affair, yeah.
Now, about...
It's all very standard stuff. Now, the problem is, and the fun part for me is because is the videos of people performing live.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. Like, stuff like Overclocked University or Lonely Rolling Stars where no one lives near each other or they might not even have any shows under their belt. How do you handle video submission for that?
Well, there are a number of ways. Some bands have sent me videos of them playing live.
Like in other projects?
Yeah. Well, no. Like a couple of them get together and actively record. Like for not this past year, but last year, for example, Night of the Round had never played a show together live at all. They all live near each other. They just can't fucking get booked anywhere where they live.
Right.
So what they did is they threw a fucking concert in their garage.
Yep.
Yeah, that works.
And they filmed it and like got the crowd reaction and everything like it's that. And they sent it to me. And I was like, this is exactly what I was looking for. Thank you very much.
So it doesn't have to be like a huge production. It just needs to be a solid.
It's
got to
be legit.
Performing.
Like, yeah.
It could be a fucking iPhone video camera for one chiptune act. This one chiptune act this year sent me a Vine.
A Vine?
Did they get in?
No, God no.
Was it A-Rival? Because A-Rival loves his Vines.
Dude, he has some.
I literally messaged one of my chiptune people. It's like a Vine. One of your fucking people actually sent me a Vine. They're just like. Nerds are silly. I was like, fuck you, dude.
But for Lonely Rolling Stars, was there their Lonely R.Bat live video? Was that kind of their submission?
That was their submission. Same with the Viking Guitars, Golden X.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just about to ask about that, too, because like that was one of the pretty much those two bands were the main ones that... I was interested in seeing, other than Machine A and some other like randoms,
A-Rod,
the one ups.
But no, like Viking Guitar, like because metal's kind of more of my forte. So Viking Guitar was right up my alley, and then the Lonely Rolling Stars, like you know, Grant did a thing on my CD that I ended up putting together, and Ale Sean and Norg and them. So like obviously, I was interested in seeing the Lonely Rolling Stars.
Right.
So, I mean, like, those two are the only ones I was
thinking about.
You
and 80% of MAGFest were interested in seeing Lonely Rolling Stars.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, like, there's got to be, like, some... I mean, like, even if they couldn't necessarily put something like that together, it's like, you look at all the stuff that they've done in the past, you look at their credibility and, you know, and what kind of pull they actually have within the community, and, like, everybody would go and see that, and you know that. So, I mean, like, it's one of those kind of things where it's, like, it's kind of like a... You know, you don't even really have to think about it. You can just kind of just do it. Like,
yeah.
See, that's the problem. That unto itself would be something that both Karen and I view as favoritism. We hold everybody to the same standards as everyone else.
Yeah.
So if you cannot send in all six pieces of information, we will not consider your application.
Okay. No, I understand that.
Which is why those videos existed.
Makes sense.
That's the way to get around it. Yeah. I mean, because that's the only way that I would be able to think about doing it. Yeah. Unless, because like monetarily, it wouldn't make sense to like, all right, let's fly everybody to somebody's house so we could do a show and have somebody record it with their phone. Like, yeah, all right, cool, and now we're ready for MAGFest.
You would spend all that money flying everyone together and then record it with a phone.
Well, that's all that's
hey,
left.
Man, that's all that's, yeah. You spent the budget on getting everybody in one location.
But no, like, I mean, I hate that it's that way now because, like, a lot of these musicians, especially in, like, Lonely Rolling Stars and Viking Guitar, I know everybody in those bands. Personally, I know what all they're capable of and everything like that, but it's simply a matter of keeping things fair.
Yeah.
Fair and balanced.
Like,
the Fox
News why band. Should, like, the band full of people that I've known for a while just automatically not have to follow the same rules as this band that I've never even fucking heard of before.
It's true.
You know?
No, I gotcha.
Are there any bands that you would like to see come back to MAGFest who haven't been there in a while?
Yes and no. There's always some. Like, what do you mean by a while?
Like, that haven't been there recently, like this year.
Or 2 years.
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I love the guys in Power Glove.
Oh, yeah, Power Glove, fuck.
Just sometimes things, like, don't work out, or, you know, the whole mixing it up thing. Like, some bands just can't get invited every year. Some bands, somehow, by the voting system, do get to come back. Things like that. It's like... See, I'd like to get Power Glove back. I'd like to get The Advantage back.
So does that mean they'd have an advantage over the other applicants?
No.
We just spent the last 20 minutes. God damn it.
Yeah. See the thing is not it, all the decisions for who gets booked isn't solely just me. There's for stage two, there's me and two other staffers who do all the selections. And a band has to have a majority vote, 2/3. If it's a band that one of us is in, that person doesn't get a vote. So the other two people have to agree unanimously if that band gets to play or not. And it's the same way with stage or with main stage. It's the same way with chiptune and DJs. I typically just let do whatever the hell they want.
That's called democracy, kids.
Yeah.
That's so, teamwork.
Like, I guess I've just gotten really lucky that, like, so far every band that I've been in that... Well, no, that's not true. Lords of Thunder got declined this past year. Never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah, you weren't good enough to get in.
Lord of Thunder! Here's a question from, you know, essentially from an, I don't want to say an outsider's perspective since I've gone for 1 year, but I've only gone 1 year, so I don't have enough.
You're an insider now.
This question is
invalid.
Is there like, do you feel like there's a certain genre that just resonates more at MAGFest than others? Because I was actually really surprised to see, like, because, like, I'm mostly a metalhead, like, I got to see a lot of really good metal bands, like.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I have a very long version of this answer I can give you.
We do like it long here. I got him. Took me a while, but I got him.
But I'll give you the quick answers. The two most popular things that will always be probably the most popular thing at MAGFest will be people who play straight covers or people who do nothing but metal.
So
those are always
pretty much
those are always the two that win everybody over.
So
pretty much bands like the Mini Bosses or bands like Power Glove.
So the CD that I put together for MAGFest this past year, like that. So just keep doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll just keep.
Did you hear the CD, Matt?
That is what goes over the most at MAGFest. However, you have to remember that those are also the two things that pretty much almost
everybody
like
does.
75% of the scene does. So yeah. Your competition is stupid retarded there.
Yeah.
So would you say that you typically would be happier to see a different variety come in the applications?
That's been the thing that me and Karen have been trying to do for the longest time, because there was a lot of years where it was just like all the same stuff. Like, it was very hard to tell the difference between a lot of the bands, except for, you know, there were different fucking people up on the stage.
Yeah, no, for me...
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
That's how I feel about, like, anytime I start listening to a new band or a different genre that I'm not used to, especially, yeah. like, the video game music, it all blurs together like, for me. I'm like...
Me, like, as the music director, I like seeing a wide array of different things represented. A lot of people seem to hate that and hate that I'm doing
people
that.
Hate change.
Mm-hmm. Joe.
Especially MAGFest people. But let's see. I remember when we stopped booking the mini bosses as much. It's like, that was like the greatest sin one could ever create.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
How could you ever do that?
And well, that's the thing. And now, like, it's not even something that gets brought up anymore. Now, instead, it's you didn't book blah thing. What the hell's wrong with you? It's like, hey, remember when you said people were saying that about the mini bosses and how MAGFest was going to die if we didn't book the fuck you?
The funny thing is, I never had a problem with not booking the mini bosses because. As awesome as they are live, they really haven't added much to their set over the years.
I don't know. I mean, they've added like 8 different ways to play Excitebike.
Wow.
But I mean,
six,
like the Smash
different
Brothers.
Different ways to play DuckTales.
Yeah. But like the Smash Brothers had a new set every year.
I know.
Which
so
I thought
this
was
place,
awesome.
So does This Place Is Haunted.
Yeah.
Every year, like This Place Is Haunted will play maybe 2 songs. They usually would do Castlevania and Double Dragon, and everything else in their set would be entirely different from what they did the year previous.
Yeah, and that's what I like.
That's honestly one of the reasons why I love This Place song. Now, they were also the first band I ever became friends with.
With some of the application stuff, do you have to see and approve their set list?
No, I never ask a band to see their set list until about a month before MAGFest, so I can give that shit to our lighting directors and things like that.
Oh, thank God you guys have lighting. The stage setup was really good. Did you have a hand in that?
The stage setup?
Yeah.
Like
the lighting cage that was built on the stage with the projection in the middle?
Yeah, I'm the guy who rented that.
Yeah, thank you for that. I had to shoot a Japanese band at KatsuCon last year on that stage. Okay. They had no lighting person, and it was just the stage.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and so here I am. I took 4,000 photos. It took me like 3 months to process them all. And it, because most of it was just massive amounts of post work to make the photos not look like shit. Because there's just the lighting was bad. And when I saw the main stage this year, I was like, oh, thank God. You guys did something really good.
So wait, so here's a stupid question. For the bands that are like doing the straight like video game covers, I noticed like a lot of the bands will have like, you know, some gameplay footage of the game while they're playing. Do you guys set that up or do they bring it?
Any band has to bring their own visuals.
Okay.
If it's something on a screen or something like that.
Cause I was like, man, there's a lot of people doing that. They're like, did they just like ask for a set list and do that? Or like, what's going on?
Oh God, no. Why would I give myself more work?
So I was like, holy, well, that was the thing. I was like, holy shit. Would they do that too? Like, that's a lot of fucking work. Like,
I'm still laughing my ass off
like,
at the fact
the one-ups have their own video guy. Those who fight in Super Guitar Brothers use the same guy, things like that.
I'm still laughing at the fact that Lonely Rolling Stars put my face in their video.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Like, what the f-
And I love that you thought that it was Sean that did it, but it was actually Norg.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I didn't expect Norg to do that. That's something
either.
I would expect Sean to do.
That's how beloved you are in that community, Joe.
What was it, MAGFest 7 or 8? My name was in the fucking program. Like, they had it was Final Fantasy themed, and they had, like, attack, item, Joe Cam, run, like, the one menu box. Yeah,
that was 7.
That was fun.
That's funny.
I used to be somebody at MAGFest when there were only 3,000 people going, and now there's 12,000 and no one knows who the fuck I am.
I thought there was a lot more this year.
Nope, 12,272. Not factoring in staffers or volunteers and shit like that. Just normal ass attendees.
That's still insane.
That's a lot of fucking people, man. That's awesome, though.
And what, two people got the wizard tier?
Jesus was one of the wizard supporter tiers.
How much of that thing run?
500.
If it's not the music department, I honestly have no fucking idea.
Did he get a wizard's hat or a giant dildo or something? He got a wizard hat, a staff, a robe, a shield, a tiara, like all this dumb. it was fucking awesome.
So, actually, I don't know if we if you want me to talk about it now or not, but I didn't get to unleash my MAGFest experience on the podcast yet.
It's because you weren't here.
Yeah, no, I said that I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, we know.
I don't know if
we're aware.
I don't know if
you know we have a guest on this week.
I know, but
this can't be the Tim show.
He might be interested in stories. Well, no, I keep thinking of the stories, and I'm like, I want to say it, but I won't.
Ask Matt's permission.
Go for it. I don't give a shit.
So the most fun I had at MAGFest this time, my first MAGFest, was hanging out with the Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam guy.
Oh my God, that was so fucking fantastic.
With the Charles Barkley what?
Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden. There, it's a game by a development team called Tales of Games. I met these guys at PAX Prime. I was sitting on the plane across the country next to one of the lead developers and a guy named Liam. And, you know, we became friends. We hung out there in Seattle. And then I bumped into him at the hotel. And right when I got there, and I was like, oh my God, awesome. Like, so we started hanging out, and we're in the Lumberjack Lounge, and some old drunk guy walks. I don't even know who this guy was.
Old man Jaeger.
Old man Jaeger. Okay. So very drunk, comes over to us, and we're, Liam and I were talking about Kickstarter, because my company is about to do a Kickstarter. His just had a really successful one. They asked for $35,000. They got $130,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
A shit ton of money. So we're talking about Kickstarter, and this guy comes over and starts talking to us. He's like, oh, you guys, he's like, I heard a Kickstarter. What are you guys doing with it? And it's like, oh, you know, I'm a developer, and, you know, we're doing a thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, what's the thing? What are you doing? And Liam and I look at each other, and we're like, who is this guy? And he's like, you should promote it on the Reddit. And I look over at Liam again, and I'm like, and I look back at the guy, I go, what's Reddit? Oh. and he's like, you don't know what Reddit is? I'm like, no, wait, what is it? What is the Reddit? And he's like, it's this thing. He's like, you should, oh God, you go there and people like, they do things. And he's like, you just Google it. Google it. It'll come up on Googles. And
on Googles. How old was this guy, just for reference?
He's probably 50s or 60s.
I looked at him, I'm like, how do you spell it? Is it R-E-D-D-I-D? Redded? Redded.net? Is it .gov? Like, wait, what is it? And
you shouldn't fuck with the elderly. So
he's like, all right, well, don't worry. He's like, just look it up. He's like, but what's this project? He's like, yo, there's a lot of money in the Kickstarters. And
why is everything plural with him?
And Liam, he was drunk. I don't know. Liam looks over at him and goes, well, yeah, see, my company's working on a project called Dominoes Across America. 65 million dominoes starting from Florida and going all the way up to Vancouver. And he's like, we got it. It was at 250 million dominoes, but we've scaled it down significantly. And we think that we can have it go across. And then I look at the guy, like, Liam and I were on such a wavelength. I look over at the old man, and I'm like, now I know what you're thinking. What happens when it hits like Kansas, like the tornado alley? What happens if we hit the worst case scenario? A tornado hits, picks up all the dominoes, and we have a dominado on our hands. Like, the dominoes are flying everywhere, killing people. It's a horrible, horrible experience. Liam's like, yeah, we plan on building tunnels. We're going to tunnel underneath sections of it, and we're going to have people set up to watch and make sure that if anything happens to it, they can close off the tunnels so that the dominoes are safe.
I think I hate you more for this story.
And we just ran with it to the point where the guy got frustrated and left.
I would have fucking left about like three sentences in.
So to top it all off, Liam was on a panel, like a Kickstarter pitch panel, where he was talking about Barkley. He's talking about Barkley 2, the thing they just kickstarted. He's on stage. He has slides. He's like, you know, I'm from Tales of Games. We've made all of these games. We did Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam. We're now doing Barkley 2. And he's showing like screenshots off. And he goes, but forget all that. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about. Oh, what God. I'm here to talk to you about is Dominoes Across America. And there's a video of him giving the story on stage.
I'm gonna have to try and YouTube that. So.
I linked it on Facebook. It's on my Facebook.
Oh God!
Absolutely astounding. Like the man is one of the funniest dudes in the world. So we hung out later that night, and like for the rest of the night, and we're playing Johann Sebastian Joust.
I love that fucking game.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot last week.
Did you? Yeah, that it is.
Well, if you listen to our show.
Yeah, then you would know.
I don't have 4 hours of my life to spend on it.
No, that was in the first 20 minutes.
Okay. But
in the next 20 minutes.
Matt,
the
I'm
next
sure, 20 minutes. Matt, I'm sure you know what Johann Sebastian Joust is, right?
Nope.
All right, so.
Thank you, Matt.
Doesn't have to do with music. I don't give a fuck.
Well, kind of. So what this is,
it's so vaguely like related to music, like not like in the least bit.
So what this is a game. You use the PlayStation Move controllers, and you hold them in a vertical position so that they have a zeroed out point in their sensitivity. If you tip the controller at all, it registers that you've basically, it's like you're holding a cup of water. And if you tip the cup, the water spills out. So there's about 12 people in a circle of each other. Now, in MAGFest, there's about 100 people in this massive circle, only 12 controllers. You would stand in the middle of the circle, music would play. The faster the music would go, the quicker you're allowed to move, and the less sensitivity the controller had. The slower the music played, the more sensitive it got, so if you tipped it even a little bit, you would lose. So what you have to do is you have to try to walk around and knock the controllers out of other people's hands. Without spilling at yours. It was a fucking blast.
It was fun. It was definitely one of the more fun things that I did at MAGFest.
And it was so funny when I brought you down because you're like, what?
I'm like,
is
what the
this?
Fuck is. Like, I just see this gigantic crowd of people and I'm like, what the fuck is going on over here? And then I just see like these Move controllers coming out of nowhere and I'm like,
yeah, and I got one of them and handed it to him and I go, get in there.
Yeah, he's I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like,
oh
my
god,
it was good.
I had a shining moment in this where it got down to me and two other people out of the 12, and at that point, when there's three people left, and you're
dropped
massive,
to his knees and blew them both.
There's a massive circle, so there's a lot of area for people to stay the circle fuck away from you. And I looked at this one kid the whole game; he was just staying away from everybody so that he could be the last guy and just have to worry about one person rather than, you know, 11 others. And I look over at him. I'm like, "Oh, you want to do this?" And he's like, no, no. I'm like, you want to do this? So I look around at the crowd and I go, let's bring it in. And everybody starts clapping, going, joust, joust, joust. And they all start, the circle starts to close on us. So it's like this 6 foot diameter, 6 foot radius, whatever math, I don't know. 6 foot wide circle. And all three of us are now trapped in it within arm's reach of each other. And I slapped the controllers out of their hands and won. And I just kind of like had this WWE moment where I kind of just like looked off into the distance while everybody cheered. And I didn't care. It's like, I've won. I'm free. It was amazing, though. The game is so fun. It was like the most fun I've had playing a game at a convention in my life.
It was. It was a good time.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
So back to Matt.
Yeah.
Those were my experiences. I wanted to get them out of the way before too much time had passed from MAGFest. But hi, Matt.
There's hey, never too much
Matt,
time from MAGFest.
No, actually,
we've been talking about MAGFest for months.
We can bring them into this. Matt, what is your favorite MAGFest experience? Doesn't have to be this year. What's your favorite MAGFest experience out of all of the MAGFests that you've been to?
Meeting me.
Filleting Joe.
And now it's the Joe Show.
It's always the Joe Show.
It is.
It is.
I have a couple of favorites.
I didn't ask for a couple.
Listen,
shut the fuck up.
I'm trying to think of which one to tell you.
If you want to tell a couple, tell them all. Fuck him. Don't listen to him.
Yes, fuck. I mean, no. Tell us all. Tell them all of us. Tell us all of them. I don't know words.
Tell all of us.
Tell the internet.
Let's see here.
Tell Zach.
MAGFest 3 had a really fun moment where me and one of my friends got really drunk and we ran across some other really drunk people.
That never happens at MAGFest.
The other really drunk people looked at my friend and was like, "Hey, dude, kick me." This is just in the fucking hallway. Like, we're going to the elevator to go to the game room. And my friend looks at me. I was like, dude said, kick him, kick him. Now, what I wasn't expecting my really drunk friend to do is to kick the dude square in his kidneys.
Oh.
Both of them? Did he, like, bicycle kick him?
No, like, he, like, just, like, straight, like, with his shin, like, flat across his back. Like, just... And the dude's reaction, like, he made, like, this crazy, like, pained face and, like, was completely rigid and then, like, collapsed onto his knees. But the rest of him didn't move. And then he just face planted. I was like, well, we just killed a dude. Let's go.
MAGFest, woo!
MAGFest, woo!
And he's
let's
dead.
See here. See here. Five. I had my favorite memory from Five. It was the first year I was doing security, and this is the first year that I met Kirby and House from Temp Sound Solutions. They were probably House. Like 17, 18 at the time.
Oh my God, House.
I'm picturing Kirby, the game character, and House, Hugh Laurie.
Oh.
What? No, Kirby, I met Kirby. He's cool. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've met...
I don't think you met House or a Shane. Oh my God, those guys.
Yeah. Anyways,
do go on.
So I walk into the concert hall after getting something to eat. It's about like an hour before concerts is supposed to start. And there's these two little punk kids clearly drinking booze. Like they've put like a fifth of like some fucking liquor into a cereal box. And are acting like they're drinking, like they're
eating
cereal under their mouth, but it's all just booze. And I can clearly see it.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Said, I'm going to do that.
Kirby and I hated each other for a little while, and now we're like best friends. So that makes me happy.
God, we could do like a 4-hour podcast just talking about the shizzies alone.
I don't want to be any part of that conversation.
Yeah, I know.
The shizzies.
Weekends where fucking a Shane would just show up. You would see him on Friday, and then you would see him check out on Sunday, still hungover. And that's it. He would just be passed out drunk in his room the entire weekend.
That's like a rival got to the convention, and then we parted ways. I bumped into him when he was checking in, and then all of a sudden I see a friggin' picture of him go up on Twitter. This was literally like 20 minutes after I saw him.
Oh yeah, because I brought you up to the room. You literally put your bag down and then like checked your phone, and then you're like, oh well, A-Rival's getting fucking shwasted already.
Yeah, it's like this picture, which, sorry Matt, you can't see it at the moment, but was like right when we checked in.
Yeah,
already a picture of him goes up holding like two bottles of alcohol, screaming like,
MAGFest. Also, and I said this on the last podcast, but holy fuck, I got to see him play Street Fighter.
Oh, dude, how ridiculous is
oh,
he?
Oh my God, the kid is just disgusting.
When we played Third Strike, I could not land a hit on him, and I'm good in our circles at Street Fighter, mm-hmm. but when you enter like his level.
Dude,
you can't do anything.
It's no competition. He's a fucking beast.
It's like that guy we tried to fight down in the arcade room. Remember
that?
Oh
my God, he was big, fucking beastly. Actually, that guy came down because it was Sunday when they were about to close that whole room.
Oh shit.
And that was when A-Rival came down and me and him went over to the arcade machines and we started like fucking around. This guy came over and he was like, oh, I want to play him. I'm like, absolutely. And I fucking
did they fight?
Yeah, dude, he fucking stomped him.
A-Rival?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, my boy.
Absolutely stomped him. Like,
dude, he's so good. Like, he just, there's a point in Street Fighter where you learn the moves to such an extent that you know, this dude's jumping at me. He has two possibilities he can do. It's going to get to me in this amount of frames. I can do this to counter it perfectly.
Like, and he does it every fucking time.
Oh, you watch his hands, he's not mashing at all. It's precise. It's, oh, doot, doot, doot. And it's not like where you and me would be like, ah! Like, we're just trying to do the input 16 times in a second. And
you're
he's
like,
just
you're
like,
quarter circle. You know, you're just spamming like quarter circle. You're like, I want to do this. And yeah, it's
I just want one Shoryuken, please. I'll do the taps 28 times. I just want it to happen once. Whereas he's so precise. Like, boom, boom,
it's
boom.
Just boom, it's there.
And then he will take off half of your fucking health bar and then taunt you. And then you're like, I hate everything.
Dude, and that was the thing. He played with nothing but Corey. And, like, every single time he was just fucking, those fucking basketballs, dude. Like,
they're such great anti-air. You'll jump at him and he goes, nope.
He throws a basketball at you. And it does damage. Like, it's like the
it does like one HP.
Yeah. Like a speck of damage, but he fucking gets you every time.
And he's killed me with it multiple fucking times.
Oh my lord.
It's brutal.
I have videos of him playing out in Seattle against.
We gotta have him on soon.
We really do.
He's so fucking funny too. He'd like some of the shit he comes up with while we're working at Sword Tech is like the Sausage Man thing in our game, where it's a guy at a newsstand. We have just a sprite in our game, of a guy standing at a newsstand on the side of the road.
There's clearly papers all over the stand.
It's clearly a newsstand. And you walk up to him and you talk to him. He goes, "Ayo, get your sausage here." And you're like, what the fuck? Like, it's not a food cart. It's a fucking newspaper stand. And you get into this really, like, he programmed this whole long-winded conversation with, like, dialogue trees about trying to buy sausage and the detective asking him if it's gluten-free and, like, all this really weird stuff. Like, oh, I can't eat it because I'm on a diet that just started right now that I do every day of the year. Like, what?
Oh, my lord.
Yeah, it's really, really funny stuff.
He's out of his mind.
He's a fucking riot.
He is. I'm actually really upset that I didn't get to see him perform. He was on main stage, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was on main. It was okay.
Do you think he'll be back next year, Matt?
I don't know.
I really would like to see him do his super square.
The super square thing, yeah.
Because, dude, now, Matt, I don't know if you know. Do you know what his super square band is?
Man, I can't fucking afford to freaking. I ain't Australia.
Well, I mean, you flew him and Helen in. It was just his brother, too. That's all. But, I mean, dude, did you see the picture from their Australia show recently?
Yes, I've seen their videos. I've seen their pictures.
Oh, my God. The amount of people they had hopping for that. Unbelievable.
It's Australia. There's not a lot happening there.
They're constantly running from the dangers of Australia.
Exactly.
Everything has a knife strapped to it, and the sun will fry you to death instantly.
Yep, that's Australia for you.
Man, I would love to see Wave.
Oh, man, there's a party. Let's do that before we die.
Yeah, which could be right after the party.
No, that is a good point. But he's looking for a tour manager, and they're really looking to like try and boost that act and really get it on the road.
So that's a thing.
That's a thing. Yeah. Well, Matt, you said you did tour management. You'd book shows and stuff like that.
I do tour management.
Yeah. You said do.
Maybe get a hold of. Maybe shoot him an email. Be like, hey, yo, Tim said that you might be looking for tour management stuff. That might be kind of cool.
Well, the thing is he knows that I tour manage and everything too. And if he wanted me, he could have contacted me.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes you don't think of those. You don't think of everybody when you need to do it.
And like, God knows that if Matt wants to contact A-Rival, he should use Tim as the reference of why he's contact.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I don't know. I don't know your connection.
Matt knows.
Yeah, but
A-Rival
I don't know your relationship with him. I work with him, so I talk to him all the fucking time. You know.
You work with him?
Yeah.
Like, you live out in Seattle?
No. We he's the coder at the game development company I work for.
So we're all
scattered right now, but he built the prototype of our game at Sword Tech called Pixel Noir, coming soon.
That's weird. I thought he worked with George and Helen That's the medical thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's got other, like, all of us have different jobs as well, but that's one of our gigs is he's the lead programmer at our company for that.
Losers with your real jobs.
Right. I'm back to being fun employed.
I'm still there.
I work 3 or 4 jobs, something fucking stupid. Okay. But he's our lead guy for programming. He does a fucking bang up job, and I talk to him all the time thanks to it. Like, it was just last night we had a meeting. Was that last night? Night before that. Something. I don't know. I'm drunk.
Probably.
Probably.
I'm sick.
Yeah, me too.
So, we're...
I'm awesome.
You are, you know what,
you
Matt?
You are awesome.
You are awesome. Yeah. I'm really glad that you were able to take the time out of your schedule so that you'd be able to sit down and talk to us.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't get to meet you at the con, dude.
That's all good, man. Friggin' nobody actually gets to meet me at the con.
I saw you.
Well, I almost... Somebody we was going to try to hook me up with you because I was worried about... I was going to... I filmed a rival, and any of the film or photo work I was going to do... They're like, oh, well, yeah, if they give you shit, just go talk to Big Matt. I'm like, all right, I don't know who Big Matt is. Right. So.
Yeah, I ended up seeing a decent amount of you when I was at the merch table.
When I was in the boys' shower.
Like, I think, Joe, I saw you like at check-in, and then I saw you Sunday or Monday at check-out.
Something like that. I wish I would have known you were still around Sunday evening. I would have had you just come up and chill with us.
Yeah, and you could hear me like bitch about the 50-yard fucking Tecmo Super Bowl field goal.
What the fucking 50-yard line?
Jesus kicked a fucking field goal in Tecmo Bowl from the 50, which means it was like a 60-some-yard field goal.
What
it
the
was
fuck?
Bullshit.
It was
like,
so
Pappy
funny.
Heard me yelling down the hall. Because I was so infuriated.
Oh. From the fucking 50?
Oh my god. Speaking of infuriated. I'll wait till after the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I watched all of Sherlock.
I didn't see the last one yet, so if you say any word about it, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Sherlock cast. But,
the Sherlock cast.
But thank you for calling in, Matt.
Saw the last what?
The last episode of Sherlock.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, well.
Me
and you, Matt. Me and you. So, where can people find you this summer?
Everywhere.
The gay bar.
Where are you going to be touring? What are you going to be doing?
This is the airtime that we give you to pimp out everything that you want to.
Yeah, remember that that $500 you paid us for advertising?
I haven't planned anything for the summer yet because I'm still focused on the winter and the spring. So that's out.
Okay, then the spring.
Or the winter.
Where's the tour
still in winter.
Yeah, what are you doing that's going to be cool
next
soon?
Next tour that I'm doing is February 20th through March 9th. It starts in New York, and goes through the Northeast down to the Southwest. We don't have all the dates lined up yet, so I can't really announce all that stuff.
And who is that with for the people that aren't paying attention?
That is with Danimal Cannon, Brennel Floss, and Megaram.
Nice.
Oh, that's a pretty cool lineup.
Yeah, we got to hook up with Danimal soon, too.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Then there's Game Over Baltimore, which is some stupid day in March. March 1st.
Stupid day. That's a stupid day.
I thought you weren't going to be there.
I'm not, but you told me to pimp things.
Pimp everything.
All right, pimp it all.
Pimp the world.
MAGFest will be doing the Jam Space at PAX East once again. I don't know what days frickin' PAX East are this year.
PAX East is April 13th through the 15th or something like that.
PAX moved to Sunday to the Tuesday?
No, it's the middle of April, so it's somewhere around
there. Yeah, whatever the first or second week of April is.
It's the second. It's 11 the middle
through
of April.
The 13th?
11 through the 13th. All right, that
sounds better.
I knew the 13th, there was a teenth in there.
MAGFest will be doing a jam space there. We'll probably have a couple bands like we do every year.
If I can actually figure out, because I bought PAX tickets, if I can figure out how to actually afford to go, then I'll come and say hi if you're going to be there.
I'll be there.
Sweet.
I always am. Let's see here. That's all that I got right now. Confirmed that I can talk about.
Confirmed for Brawl.
2014.
I want Reggie and Brawl, goddammit.
Blade Mode 10 out of 10.
Actually, I think that should be a new save continue segment is 10 out of 10 news.
Maybe. I don't know. I stopped doing anything for the website other than the podcast.
Yeah, I don't have time to right now.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, since we end every episode on music, I know you were going to hook us up with some happy little music songs to play. So, what kind of music are we going to be playing from you?
Are you talking about the two songs I sent you before this started?
Yes, because I didn't check my Facebook yet, so I have no idea what the hell you said.
Oh, cool.
So you can introduce it.
I gave you two tracks. One is from my local band here in North Carolina called 8-Bit Disaster, which is a jazz like a funk fusion band.
Awesome. Kinda like the one. That's kind of cool.
And then the other song is from my Final Fantasy rock opera project called Those Who Fight. It's our cover of the opera theme.
Nice. And what's the 8-Bit Disaster song?
It is a remake of Shadow's theme.
Ooh.
From Final Fantasy VI.
Nice. And anything you would like as a third song, maybe?
I don't know. Play a Lonely Rolling Star song. I don't give a shit.
That works.
I don't give a shit. Oh, that's the easiest thing ever. Oh, before, I don't know, will this be posted? Oh, no, we post them Friday, don't we?
Uh-huh.
Never mind. I was going to talk about the Lonely Rolling Stars listening party.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow night.
I know. Yep. So that's why I said never mind.
So, tune in.
So that was a really awesome listening party last night, wasn't it?
It was great. It was
that
wonderful.
Was so good, because it's totally Friday right now.
Totes. Yeah. Yeah. Totes, mug goats.
It totally Totes, glistened. Mug goats.
It totally glistened.
My balls glistened.
All right, so.
Yeah, music. Woo! Segways.
Thanks for joining us, Matt. It was awesome.
Bye,
and
Matt. I love you.
I want to snuggle inside your massively awesome bosom soon.
Well, the bosoms are disappearing. I've been doing, like, I'm at week 3 of the gym now or something like that.
Nice.
P90 Triple X.
I've been doing an exercise bike, and I want to get to the point where eventually I'm going to do an entire episode on the bike.
That sounds awful.
Christ. That would be hysterical, actually.
Yeah, it would.
That's going to be terrible.
We need to get 3 bikes. We need to get 3 bikes, and we're all on bikes the whole time.
SML.
SML Marathon Cast.
No, Marathon Cast. What we'll do is we'll have people write in, and we'll have some sort of game where, depending on what happens when they write in, we have to increase our pace or something.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, like the Game Olympics that we were supposed to do?
We did it.
I won.
Joe won.
Sure, Joe won.
Thanks again, Matt. Any final words for our listeners?
Don't go to MAGFest. It sucks.